In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverant Family Conversation on this beautiful day, this Sunday, which we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary in a very special way because it's our feast day. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary into heaven, body and soul. So we'd like to talk about Mary today in a very special way. And of course, we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us on her feast day. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. When we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So we want to invoke Mary in a very special way as we invite Mary to be with us as we honor her on her solemnity. So let's say the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now I'd like to invite our spiritual director to be with us. And our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known as the gift of gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. The Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor, as well as our consoler. The Holy Spirit is also known as a sanctifier. In our pursuit of holiness, he's our sanctifier. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of peace and joy, and the fire of his divine life that will burn within our hearts now and always. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who didst instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. St. Louis de Montfort, pray for us. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Pope John Paul II, pray for us. St. Mother Teresa, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So we wish you a very happy feast day today, as we celebrate the great solemnity of Mary as in her Assumption into heaven. The key Marian feast day solemnity. So I'd like to pray for all of you on this beautiful feast day of Mary, which happens to fall on Sunday. I'd like to pray in a special way for all of you that first, my first intention, as I place you on the altar of the Mass that I'll be celebrating later on, that all of you will have a real hunger and thirst for holiness, but also related to your devotion to Mary. That all of you will cultivate a deeper devotion to Mary. And on this day that you would, maybe in an informal way, reconsecrate yourself to Mary. Give yourself to Jesus through Mary. This would be a perfect day to renew your consecration to the Blessed Mother. So that's my first intention. My second intention would be I'd like to pray for your family and your children. As your children will be going back to school in a relatively short time, that especially today that they'll grow. They'll grow in their love for God. They'll grow as a family member. That they will also have time to get physical exercise and activity. That's very good for children and young people. If you're sluggish, lazy, that invites other devils to tempt us. The devil of lust and gluttony, those ugly devils, they hover around people that are children that are inert, they have inertia, they're inactive, they're sitting around, they're couch potatoes, so to speak. And I pray that your children will grow intellectually, that they'll dedicate themselves to good spiritual reading. And also that they'll cultivate good friends. Good friend can be of great help to us. Good friend can be a bridgeway to heaven. And I pray that your children will cultivate their talents in general. Musical talents, artistic talents, intellectual talents, literary talents, talents of communication. That they would truly cultivate all the gifts that God has given to them. That they will not be recriminated on the day of judgment for being that servant that made a hole and buried his gift in the hole. So I'd like to pray for you and your children. And finally, I'd like to pray for all of you that you would have on this day of Mary an ardent desire to grow in your prayer life. Our spiritual life, our conversion, our growth in holiness, our perseverance, our eternal salvation depends upon God, but we collaborating with God, especially collaborating with God in our prayer life. So pray that all of you will have a great desire to pray more, pray better, and that you'll have a great desire and joy and comfort and consolation in your prayer. That would be a good gift to Mary, to make a proposal to be more faithful to your prayer life and to go deeper in your prayer life. That would be a very, very, very good proposal. Very good proposal. So there we have it. So today that we celebrate this wonderful, wonderful solemnity under Mary, and its title is The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Heaven in Body and Soul. Let's talk about Mary. Start off, here's a beautiful picture of Mary that was given to me. And it's a artistic depiction of Mary, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. We see Mary looking at us with great love. Jesus is hugging his mother with his cheek. He's touching her chin. He's looking intently into her eyes. And Mary's looking very intently into our eyes. See, she's looking very, very intently into your eyes right now with great love. So Mary is your mother. Mary has great love for you. So I'd like to talk about Mary in general and lead up to the solemnity of the Assumption, which we celebrate today, which is the last of the four Marian dogmas, which was proclaimed by Pope Pius XII, November 1st, 1950, the most recent of the four Marian dogmas that were proclaimed, was proclaimed by servant of God, Pope Pius XII. So let's talk about Mary. We should always have a great desire to pray to Mary, to talk about Mary, to pray to Mary, to love Mary, to imitate Mary, as well as to promote devotion to Mary. So even before Mary came into existence, God had Mary already in his mind. So who is Mary in the eyes of God? How is Mary related to God? We are sons and daughters of God through baptism. Mary did not have to be baptized because she is the Immaculate Conception. But St. Louis de Montfort, in his classic True Devotion to Mary, he speaks about the Blessed Virgin Mary related to the Trinity. So if we want to get close to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, going to Mary, she can unite us in a deeper way to the Blessed Trinity. Mary is the daughter of the Eternal Father. Mary is the beloved daughter of the Eternal Father. How true. God the Father loves his beloved daughter. She's the most beloved of all God's daughters. She's the most beloved, the most precious. But also Mary is the mother of God the Son. And here again we have that beautiful picture of Mary as mother of God the Son. Mary carried this son within her womb for 9 months. And of all Mary's privileges, the Theotokos, the God-bearer, is her greatest. Mary is God's mother, but she's our mother too. Then Mary related to the Holy Spirit. What is her relationship? Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? We believe in her perpetual virginity. Mary was virgin before the birth of Christ, during the birth of Christ, and after the birth of Christ. But Mary conceived Christ. We read this in the first chapter of Luke, in the account of the Annunciation. Mary conceived Christ through the Shekinah, which is the Hebrew word of overshadowing. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. Mary conceived Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. She received Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. And Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. How beautiful. So the eyes and the mind of the Trinity, Mary is the most precious. Okay, let's move from the Blessed Trinity to the world in which we live. Mary came into the world about 2,000 years ago. Her parents were Saint Anne and Saint Joachim. According to tradition, her parents could not have children right away, like Elizabeth, like Sarah, like Hannah of the Old Testament. But according to tradition, her parents are very generous, a very pious Jewish couple. We talk about tithing. Tithing is usually 10%. Well, the parents of Mary, Anne and Joachim, gave much more, according to tradition. They gave a third of their belongings to the upkeep of the temple. Another third they gave to the poor. The last third they kept for themselves. So, Saint Anne and Saint Joachim were very, very generous. And God gave to them the greatest gift in the world. And that was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And from this greatest gift in the world would come a greater gift. Jesus Christ would be born of the Virgin Mary. So we want to be eternally grateful to Saint Anne and Saint Joachim. We want to thank them today as we celebrate the solemnity of their daughter taken up to heaven. So among those who would greet Mary in heaven would be also her parents. Her parents greeting Mary as Mary arrives at heaven in body and soul. So in Saint Anne, we have the privilege of the Immaculate Conception. And that means that the very moment that Mary had human existence, the moment of her conception in the womb of Saint Anne, God in a very powerful way, mysterious way, but very silent way, He preserved Mary from the stain of original sin. All of us, when we're conceived, we contract original sin. Not Mary. And the key word is preserved. For that reason, the English poet Wordsworth says of Mary that Mary is our tainted nature's solitary boast. What words of praise to Mary, even though this English poet was not even a Catholic. Wordsworth says, Mary is our tainted nature's solitary boast. How beautiful. Our tainted nature's solitary boast. So Mary was brought up and raised by Anne and Joachim. However, they gave they offered Mary in the temple. According to tradition, when she was very young, a little girl, she was presented in the temple. She was presented in the temple, and when she was a small girl. So in the temple, Mary was being prepared for her sublime mission. What did she do in the temple? We don't know exactly, but we can presume that Mary learned how to read and write. Mary was constantly in prayer. Mary would have been obedient to the church, to the temple authorities. Mary probably would have learned the domestic chores of a woman, of a future wife. She's being formed and being prepared for her sublime mission. So that's another Marian feast day we celebrate in November, November 21st, which is the presentation of Mary in the temple. So I'm giving an overall view, a panoramic vision of who Mary is, so that we'll get to know her and love her all the more. Spend good quality time in talking to Mary today. So then Mary has made a vow. What vow was this? It was a vow in which she offered herself totally to God. Her mind, her heart, her body, her soul, her whole being. She gave the essence of her being to God. In this, she made the decision that she wanted to be a virgin. She offered her virginity to God. So, Mary meets Saint Joseph. They are married. And both of them, of one accord, make a vow of a virginal marriage. Saint Joseph, as well as the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a vow that they're inspired to carry out by the Holy Spirit. There are certain state religious nuns, brothers, diocesan priests, religious priests. We all make, in a certain sense, that vow also. We want to give ourselves totally to God, so we can love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That like Mary, we will be at service of our brothers and sisters. That we would be of service with our brothers and sisters to strive to bring as many souls to heaven as possible. St. Maximilian Kolbe, who we celebrated yesterday, spoke about the importance of obedience, but also the importance of having great love for the salvation of souls. So then the culminating moment is the archangel goes to Mary and greets her and says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. You shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a child." Mary says, "How can this happen? Because I do not know man." Mary was expressing her desire to be faithful to her vow to God. The archangel Gabriel says that the Holy Spirit will descend upon you. And that which is in you, that which is conceived in you, is from the Holy Spirit. And the sign that was given to Mary was that her cousin Elizabeth was already with child. She was 6 months with child, because nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Mary thinks, reflects, she gives her consent with these words. It's called her fiat in Latin. Mary says, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." Reading the prologue of St. John, chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, which is part of the Angelus. In that moment, that was the most important moment in the history of the world. In that moment, the Blessed Trinity, looking down upon the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary opens up her mind, her heart, giving consent to the Incarnation. God the Father sends His Son to Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadows Mary. And Mary conceives Christ, Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Incarnation. That we celebrate every year, March 25th. March 25th is the feast day of the Annunciation, or the feast day of the Incarnation. Count 9 months. March 25th, you count 9 months and you have December 25th, which, of course, is the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. December 25th is the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, my friends, getting to know Mary, you can move into the five joyful mysteries and really get to know Mary. This would be Mary's relation to Jesus in his infancy. In his infancy. In his private life. These are the five joyful mysteries. And they should elicit within us great joy. Mary's Annunciation. And I think Mary teaches us a very, very important message. And it's this. As we reflect upon these joyful mysteries. It is the universal call to holiness, the universal call to happiness, and the universal call to heaven, the three H's. Universal call to holiness. We're all called to become saints. The universal call to happiness. Everybody in this world wants to be happy. You want to be happy. I want to be happy. Everyone wants to be happy. Therefore, why is it there are so many people that are not happy? And the reason for this lack of happiness is because they're searching for happiness in the wrong place. And many are confusing true joy and happiness with pleasure. You can buy pleasure with money. You can buy pleasure with money. But you can't buy true joy with money. Even the Beatles used to sing, "Money can't buy me love." Well, in that they're right. Money can't buy me love. That's true. So in the joyful mysteries, Mary teaches us, my friends, Mary teaches us the importance of pursuing happiness by striving to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's happiness. Happiness comes by means of our union with God. By means of our union with God. May we be united with God, as Mary was. Then after the joyful mysteries, the last joyful mystery is Jesus is lost and found in the temple. That's the last time in which we encounter St. Joseph. And as we honor Mary, we also want to honor St. Joseph. Especially this year, because Pope Francis has proclaimed this year, from December 8th last year up until December 8th this year, as the year of St. Joseph. So when you honor St. Joseph, you're really honoring Mary. You honor St. Joseph, you're also honoring Jesus, because Joseph is the husband of Mary, and St. Joseph is the foster father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, during those 30 years in Nazareth, Jesus worked as a carpenter. And Mary, in a very hidden way, she carried out the responsibilities of a mother, a wife, a homemaker, a friend, a pious Jew, a loving neighbor. This is called the hidden life of Nazareth. And it's also related to the family life. So the more we love Mary, the more she can help us to cultivate domestic virtues, family virtues. That means the more we love Mary, the more we're going to have in our families, there's going to be respect for the dignity of every person, kindness, comprehension, compassion, tolerance, mercy, forgiveness, sharing, understanding, humility, purity, patience, and love. I mentioned about 10 different domestic virtues that we see in the highest degree in the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The highest degree of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family. So we get close to Mary. She's going to help us to fortify our families. Help us to fortify our families. So we move from the private life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to the public life of Jesus. We see Mary present there. Now, in the public life of Jesus, Mary is present, but more and more in the background. Mary will say in the Gospel for today, which is the Visitation and the Magnificat, Mary will say, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So Mary's presence would be to magnify the Lord. But we do see Mary in a very important position in the public life of Jesus, at the beginning of the public life of Jesus, and this is the second luminous mystery, and the wedding feast of Cana. Jesus, Mary, and some of the disciples are invited to the celebration of a marriage, of a wedding feast. They ran out of wine. This would have been very embarrassing, running out of wine. Mary, aware of this, embarrassing situation, Mary turns to Jesus and says, "There's no more wine." And Jesus says, "Woman, what is that to you and to me? My hour has not arrived." Then we have the last words of Mary in sacred scripture. What were those words? Mary says, Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. My friends, this is the best advice in the whole world. I repeat, this is the best advice in the whole world. Mary says, do whatever he tells you. What would happen, my friends, if the whole world would put into practice those few words? Do whatever he tells you. If the world would put into practice those words, there'd be no more wars, no more fights, no more selfishness, no more egotism. The world would be reigning in peace. That is the best advice in the world. Do whatever he tells you. And you know what happened. They brought to Jesus 6 recipients filled to the top. Jesus turned water into wine, and not simply wine, but the best wine. We learn from this, my friends, that in our problems, we have to go to Mary. We have to recourse to Mary. Our water symbolizes our problems, our limitations, our weaknesses. The turning the water into wine means that Mary can turn our failures into victories, our sickness into health. Mary can help us to rise above who we are and to become the saints that God is calling us to be. So there in the background of the public life of Christ, Mary is present. One occasion, Jesus is preaching, and a woman cries out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." So this woman was basically proclaiming the greatness of Mary. But Jesus responded, elevating Mary even more. Because that woman was basically praising Mary on a natural level, and Jesus is going to be praising Mary on a supernatural level. Jesus says, "Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice." So Jesus was elevating his mother even a higher level. It's true that Mary bore Jesus and nursed Jesus as his earthly mother. But Mary was even greater because she listened to the word of God. She listened attentively to the word of God. And she said yes to God. She obeyed God. So Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who hears the word of God and puts it into practice. Blessed are you for your firm belief that the word of God would be accomplished in you." So this is the public life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Mary is basically, Mary's in the background. She's in the background. Another occasion, someone says, "Jesus, your mother, your brother, your sister are outside waiting for you." And Jesus says, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Whoever does the will of my Father is my mother, my brother, my sister to me." Once again, Jesus is going from the natural and he's going to the supernatural. True, Mary is his mother. But also there is spiritual maternity and paternity. Whoever does the will of God is Jesus' brother, his sister, his mother. Jesus is trying to form a spiritual family among all of us. Trying to be a spiritual family to all of us. So Mary was in the background of the public life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the background. Jesus was in the forefront. And we see at the very end of the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mary was present. Mary was present. She's present, as we saw in the movie of Mel Gibson. Mary was present with Mary Magdalene and St. John the Evangelist as Jesus carried the cross, climbing Calvary. So Mary was walking side by side with Magdalene, with John the Evangelist, the beloved disciple, as Jesus ascends Mount Calvary, where he'll be crucified for us. So there in Mount Calvary, Mary, who brought forth Jesus about 33 years earlier, Mary witnesses the crucifixion and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The crucifixion and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there on the cross, Jesus gives his seven last words. And one of them was directed to Mary and to his beloved disciple, John the Evangelist. He says to John and his mother Mary, "Woman, behold thy son. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." From that moment, the beloved disciple took Mary into his home. My friend, that's a very important passage, especially for us today, because Jesus, by giving his mother to St. John the Evangelist, Jesus was also giving his mother to the whole world. Mary, as the universal spiritual mother of all humanity until the end of the world. But also in a very particular, very endearing way, Mary is your mother and Mary is my mother. Mary is your mother and Mary is my mother, and that should fill us with great joy. Mary is the mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. But Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. So Jesus dies on the cross, and his heart is pierced with a lance from which blood and water came gushing forth. That spear pierced the heart of Christ, but also pierced the heart of Mary. That's one of the seven sorrows of Mary. The piercing of the heart of Christ, the piercing of her soul with a lance. For that reason, St. Alphonsus also says that Mary is the queen of martyrs. Because what Jesus suffered in his body, Mary actually suffered in her soul. So Jesus is taken down from the cross. He's placed in his mother's arms. So after Jesus dies, 3 days later, he rises from the dead, and the first one he appears to is his Blessed Mother. In your Ignatian contemplations, this is the first contemplation you have when you have Jesus rising from the dead. He first appears to his Blessed Virgin Mary, his mother. You can imagine the immense joy that Mary must have experienced. No one experienced so much sorrow aside from Jesus as his mother, but no one experienced so much joy that Mary experienced in encountering her son rising from the dead that first Easter Sunday. And that leads us up to what we're celebrating today. Mary was with the apostles, was with the early church for several years. She was there praying for the apostles, praying for the church, supporting the church, giving them advice, consoling, encouraging, supporting Peter, James, and John, and the apostles, as well as the fledgling community that started to grow in number, but also suffered persecution. Mary was present there. I invite all of you to try to watch Full of Grace, which is a movie that came out about 10 years ago, which shows Mary's what Mary did after Jesus ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. Mary, in the very beginning of the church, is called Full of Grace. And it leads up to her, for her assumption that we celebrate today. It's called Full of Grace. Mary's presence in the church from Pentecost until God takes Mary up to heaven. So today, my friends, we celebrate the Assumption of Mary. I'm giving you just a panoramic vision of the life of Mary in this perseverance conversation, this hour presentation. So today we celebrate, my friends, the Assumption of Mary into heaven, body and soul. This, my friends, is the fourth dogmatic proclamation of Mary. What are the four Marian dogmas? First would be the Immaculate Conception. Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. Second would be her perpetual virginity. Mary was virgin before the birth of Christ, during the birth of Christ, and after the birth of Christ, her perpetual virginity. Third would be what is called her divine maternity, the greatest of all of her privileges. And that means that Mary is the Theotokos, the God-bearer. Mary is the mother of God. We proclaim this every time we pray the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Holy Mary, Mother of God. So every time we pray the Hail Mary, we're honoring Mary as the Mother of God. And every time she hears that, she rejoices, hearing Holy Mary, Mother of God. How Mary loves the Hail Mary. How Mary loves, she loves also the rosary. So, the last of Mary's dogmatic privileges is what we celebrate today, the Assumption. This dogmatic proclamation was proclaimed by Servant of God, Pope Pius XII, of happy memory. This was proclaimed 1950, November 1st, which happens to be the solemnity of all saints, and Mary is the queen of angels and saints, after consulting theologians, bishops, even lay people. It was almost unanimous, the acceptance of this Marian dogma. And you can Google in, Munificentissimus Deus is the papal bull or proclamation. Very beautiful. And if you pray the Liturgy of the Hours, it's a second reading today. Munificentissimus Deus by Pope Pius XII. Pope Pius XII. So what is this Marian dogmatic proclamation? What is it? What does it mean? What does Pope Pius XII say? What does this mean for us? It's the following. The Immaculate, Most Pure Body of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was truly the Immaculate Conception, who during the course of her life, Mary never committed even the slightest venial sin. At the end of her earthly pilgrimage, Mary was taken up into heaven in body and soul. I repeat, at the end of her earthly pilgrimage, Mary was taken up into heaven in body and soul by the power of God. So two of the glorious mysteries, the ascension, is that Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after he rose from the dead. He ascended by his own power. That we celebrate, as I said, 40 days after the resurrection. Then the fourth glorious mystery, which we celebrate today, is that Mary was taken up to heaven by the power of God. Now, did Mary die, or did Mary simply go up to heaven? In this, you are allowed to believe whatever you want to believe. Some believe that Mary did not commit any sin, therefore she did not have to pay the consequences of sin. The consequence of sin is sickness and eventually death. Mary was sinless, so technically she would not have to die. So she could have just gone up to heaven. However, the majority of the theologians believe what is called the dormition of Mary. Dormition means that Mary basically fell asleep. And some of the best Catholic mystic, Marian mystics say that the love of Mary was so intense in her soul, and her longing to be with Jesus was so intense that her soul took off and went to heaven. And then her body was buried in a tomb. This is the way it's presented by Father Patrick Peyton, the priest that says the family that prays together stays together. He presents the Assumption Mary, in which her body is taken and placed in a tomb. A stone is rolled there. And then when they go to the tomb the following day, they notice that the stone is rolled back. There is a powerful scent of roses. And then it's as if a choir of angels are singing. They're singing gloriously the triumph of Mary. That Mary was no longer here on earth, but Mary was taken up to heaven. So you have the stone moved back, you have the fragrance of the flowers, you have the celestial choir of angels singing, And the disciples of Jesus and Mary believe firmly that Mary was taken up to heaven. So this belief in Mary's assumption, this goes all the way back to 2,000 years ago. But it was only proclaimed by Pope Pius XII 71 years ago, 1950. Now, the Pope Pius XII goes on to say that, for example, when our bodies die, unless there's a special grace of the incorruptibles, maybe you've read the book by Joan Cruz, The Incorruptibles, some saints' bodies are incorrupt. But in most cases, once our body dies, they start to undergo corruption. And that's another effect of original sin. Once again, Mary, being preserved from the stain of original sin, Mary's body did not undergo any corruption whatsoever. Rather, her body was preserved from the stain of all sin and the consequences of sin. So this is what the Church believes. That the body of Jesus and the body of Mary are already in heaven. They're already in heaven. And Mary was received into heaven. And you can think about the great joy when Mary went up to heaven, the joy of the cherubim and the seraphim and the virtues and the powers and the principalities and the dominions and the archangels and the angels and the saints. Imagine the explosion of joy that all the heavenly choirs of angels and the saints must have experienced when Mary was taken up to heaven. Must have been an explosion of joy. So Mary now is in heaven. She's the daughter of God the Father. She's the mother of God the Son. Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. But also Mary is your mother and Mary is my mother. Mary is your mother, and Mary is my mother. And Mary is in heaven now praying for you and praying for me. So that one day, you and me and your loved ones, we will be with her one day to praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. So my friends, I'll pray that you'll experience a lot of joy today. An overflowing joy today. Because today we celebrate Mary's triumphal entrance into heaven. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And the words of Mary in the Gospel today. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. May God bless all of you with the eternal embrace and love of Mary, who is truly the Mother of God, Mother of the Church, and she's the mother of each and every one of us. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.